Now, John chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 35 to 45. 35 to 45 in John chapter 6. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let's briefly bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this thy word, for the opportunity granted to us now to spend some time looking into the Word of God. We pray that thou wilt open thy word to our hearts. Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak to those who are without Christ, both young and old, and see of them from their sins. Grant them the gift of saving faith in Christ. We have been reading this evening of a mighty supernatural activity of God, whereby He teaches the soul. And we have read that everyone who is so taught of God comes to Christ. O Lord, do thine own work in hearts this evening, and bring precious souls to the Lord Jesus. Encourage and edify the people of God, and make this a meeting for eternity. Glorify thy Son, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our text this evening is in verse 37 of John chapter 6. For many Christians, I think, one of the best known texts in all the Bible. For many, including myself, a very, very important and precious text. I can look back to the time when, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit applying this text of Scripture, the Lord brought me personally into the full assurance of faith and the joy of eternal salvation. The Lord Jesus said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. It's a prodigious and presumptuous blunder to try to limit God. And yet, that's exactly what very many of God's people have been seeking to do down through the centuries. It has worried their puny minds that the Word of God speaks of a people whom God has elected and predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, while at the very same time issuing unmistakable
and universal command to repent with a promise of eternal life to all who will come to Christ. On the one hand, there are some who deny the reality of the decree of election. That's their solution to the problem. Then there are others, and they deny the reality of a universal offer of the gospel. That's their solution to the problem. And there are others who spend all their time in between trying to reconcile the two. The trouble with all these reactions is that they seek to make man the judge and standard of God. And they seek to restrict Almighty God and have him all limited by the straitjacket of some man-made system. When some young fellow came to Mr. Spurgeon and asked him to reconcile the two parts of our text, Spurgeon smiled and said, "I never seek to reconcile friends. God sees no contradiction between the two parts of our text, so why should I? If my mind cannot grasp the depth of the decree of election, or the breadth of the scope of God's offer of the gospel, my faith can receive both these truths, rejoice in them, just as it does with every other message of divine revelation." Now our text sets forth both truths, and with beautiful clarity. Last Sabbath evening I spoke to you on the theme of coming to Jesus. We noted in Matthew 8 and Matthew 9 the constant reference, "there came to him." We were looking at all the people who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to look at this glorious promise given to all those who do come. It is a word of wonderful assurance. I have in my Bible a little note beside this verse, "the mystery and simplicity of salvation." And I think that sums up the two parts fairly accurately. However, every time I think of this text, I think I mentioned this last Lord's Day evening. Every time I think of this text, I think of Mr. Spurgeon's title as he preached it. I think it's the loveliest title any preacher ever gave to a message in John 6 and 37. It was simply, "Come and welcome to Jesus." What a message for a lost world. What a message for sin-laden hearts. What a message for those who are crushed by the tempter, for those who have given up hope in themselves. What a message for men who have tried religion and they have found no solace of conscience, no peace of mind, no freedom from the guilt and burden of sin. What a message for a lost world tottering on the edge of destruction. Come and welcome to Jesus. For Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." As I look at this text, I find that it falls into four little segments. The first one speaks of an innumerable company. All that the Father giveth me. Here is the description given by the Lord Jesus Christ of that vast host of people whom he saves and whom he brings to glory. He describes his people as those whom the Father has given to him. And I bless God for the numerous seed which God has spiritually given to his Son. I bless God for that great number spoken of in the Revelation chapter 7, out of every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nation under heaven, a great and innumerable company of people who are gathered safely through to the glory shore. Who are these people? You can give many an answer, but certainly one would be, these are they who were given by the Father to the Son. They are a chosen people. Jesus said in John 17 and 6, thine they were. Now all souls belong to God because all men are his creatures. But when the Lord Jesus says, thine they were, he is confessing that these people were peculiarly his Father's. They were peculiarly set apart in the sovereignty of God, and then they were given over as an act of God's grace to God's Son. They were a chosen people. The Apostle Paul loved to preach this to saints and sinners. We have, I think, made the mistake of falling into the follies of humanistic thinking. And the idea is, don't tell sinners about the doctrine of God's sovereignty. It might put them off. Man, away and catch yourself on. A sinner doesn't need anything to put him off. He's been put off ever since the fall. He needs the truth. He needs the life-giving word. He needs a message that has the power of God. A message that's preached with God's authority. A message that comes with God's life-giving efficacy. Bless God, that's why Paul was willing to preach such an unwelcome message in the ears of men, because God owned it. My, how Paul preached it. He says, we were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. A covenant people also, for we have been given. In John 17, in the high priestly prayer, there is that continual emphasis that the Father gave a people to his Son. In the council of redemption, in that glorious covenant of grace, God promised a people to his Son. He gave them to him as his special people. His bride, his body, his church, his redeemed. He gave them him by covenant deed. And then he did more in the fullness of time. They became a conducted people. Verse 44 of John 6. We find no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. God conducts these people to Jesus Christ. I love the words of the old hymn, he drew me, and I followed on, charmed to confess that voice divine. How did you ever make your way to the cross? How did a blind, dead, guilty, God-hating, Christ-rejecting sinner ever find his way in repentance to the cross? Man, there's only one answer to that. And that is, the Father which sent Christ drew those souls to Jesus. You know, in John 17, I find they are acclaimed people. For the Lord Jesus now comes to cash the check that was given to him in the covenant of grace. He says, Father, thine they were. He says, all thine, or all mine are thine, and all thine are mine. I claim these people as my very own. You know what that entailed? Matthew 13, 45 and 46 will tell you. Here's one of the most misunderstood passages in the Bible. The parable
of the man who sells all to purchase the field and to purchase the pearl of great price, that treasure of inestimable value. The Lord Jesus Christ is not teaching that if a man wants the pearl of great price, salvation, he sells all that he has and then goes and buys it. There are more millions across the world lost because they think they can purchase salvation or they can merit salvation. How many people are thinking, oh, look at what I have done for God. Surely God will accept me because of what I have done to obtain eternal life. My friend, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done. It is of God's mercy that He saved us. I would to God that we could learn this, that every unconverted man, woman, and young person in this meeting tonight could learn it. You are not saved by what you do for God. You are not saved by what you pay to God. You are not saved by religion, by works, or by anything of man. This parable is teaching the very opposite. What is the pearl of great price? It is Christ's description of His own church, of those whom He came to save. And He says, in order to save them, it cost Him everything. He went. He's the one who did the purchasing. He purchased His people and claimed them for His own. Here then is an innumerable company, all that the Father giveth me. Now we move to the next clause, which is an indisputable certainty. All that the Father giveth me shall, man, I like that, shall come to me. Here's the guarantee of the success of the work of Christ. We read in verse 39, this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. He says much the same in John 17 and verse 12. Those that Thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. None of them is lost. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. These chosen covenant people, for whom Christ Jesus made a substitutionary sacrifice on Calvary, shall come to Him. Now, let's get the sense of the certainty, the joy of those words of Christ. The Lord Jesus is saying these words right at the very beginning of this gospel era. Many centuries, of course, were yet to pass. Many, many millions had yet to be reached. And yet, looking down through the corridors of time, right until the very last day, the Lord Jesus could say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. My friend, I believe in a gospel that's always successful. I believe in a Christ who always succeeds in what He sets out to do. And I bless God, however dark the day, God is going to continue in the work of saving sinners. Let's get it into our heads. We may grow despondent as we look at things. We may object, but look, these people are deep in sin. These people are bound by Satan. These people have no will to come to Christ. They have no desire to come to Christ. Their inclination is altogether against Christ. Oh yes, if we were dealing with any human plan, those would be mighty big obstacles. But you see, we're dealing with a divine plan. And the shall come of Jesus Christ will bring every one of them in. Man, here is why we can pray with confidence. Here's how we preach with confidence. Jesus Christ has promised to fill His Father's house because God has given Him a people to do it. And Jesus says, they shall come to me. Now we come to the third statement in the text. the third segment in the text. Him that cometh to me. This is an individual coming. The first part of our text has been called high doctrine. The second part has been called broad doctrine. I like the summary. Him that cometh to me. Now then, who may come to Jesus? That's the question. Who may come to Jesus? The best answer is to look to the Word of God and just look at the exhortations that are given to come. And then look at the illustrations of those who did come. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30, we read, great multitudes came to him. I like the words of Mark 1 and 45. They come to him from every quarter. You know, I think that sums up history. At the end of the age, God will write that over the history of this old globe. They came to Christ from every quarter. From the north, the south, the east, and the west. From the rich and from the poor. From the educated and the illiterate. From the aristocracy and the peasants. They come to him from every quarter. Who may come to Jesus? Last week I gave you a long list of those who came in Matthew 8 and 9. I'm not going to preach that all over again. Remember, the leper could come. And he wasn't turned away. Remember, the bereaved father could come and he wasn't turned away. Remember, the heathen Roman soldier could come and he wasn't turned away. Remember, the publicans and sinners came and they weren't turned away. My friend, I say this to you. Who may come to Jesus? According to the words of Christ himself, the weary may come. Come unto me, all ye. Now, he doesn't say, just some of you can hear this. Most of you close your ears. No, no, he says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If you're weary, you come to Christ. If you're weary of sin, weary of sham, weary of empty religion, weary of personal effort that can never give peace to the conscience, if you're weary of traveling down the road of life without the reality of Christ as your Savior, Christ as your friend, God reconciled to your soul and the Holy Spirit abiding within you. Man, if you're weary for the lack of all those glorious gospel truths, then Jesus says, come unto me. The weary may come. Revelation 22, let him that is athirst come. The thirsty may come. Spiritual need in Scripture is very often referred to as thirst. If there's a soul that is yearning for Jesus, let him come. Jesus says, as he closes the book of Scripture, let him that is athirst come. He sums it all up. Whosoever will, let him come. I have preached tonight the secret decree of God, secret as to its detailed contents. I don't know God's elect. It's none of my business. But I do know God's promise. And I do know God's word. And he says, if you're weary, if you're thirsty, if you're desirous of being saved, if you would like to have your sin dealt with, if you'd like to get right with God, if you'd like to be sure of heaven, if you'd like to be able to put your head in the pillow tonight and know that it's well with your soul, so that if your soul were to quit the body,
you would be immediately with the Lord, then come to Jesus. Who may come? You may come. You may come. There's not a prohibition in Scripture that tells any man or woman here not to come to Jesus. Not one. Who may come to Jesus? You may come to Christ. You may be saved. The tragedy with so many is that they will not come. Ah, there's the corruption, the rottenness, and the bondage of a depraved will. Jesus says, you may come. Let him come. But you say, I will not come. There must be an individual coming to Christ to be saved. You don't come across this too much in the United States, but back in Britain, especially in some parts of the Highlands of Scotland, and in some parts of Northern Ireland, you'll run into people. You witness to them, they believe every doctrine of the Bible. And what's more, they live very, very straight-laced lives. Yet they will not come to Christ because they say, I'm not sure if I'm one of God's elect. How perverted, how crazy can men become? And how would anybody know they were in the covenant of grace before they came to Christ? My friend, there must be an individual coming. There is no promise of salvation to anybody who doesn't come to Christ. There is no promise of life to anybody who will not close with Christ. There is no cleansing for sin for any sinner who has not personally come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. An individual coming. Him that cometh to me. You see, at the end of the day, it's you and Christ. Don't let anything come between you. Don't get your eyes off Christ and get them on the church. Don't get your eyes off Christ and get them on this preacher. Don't get your eyes off Christ and look at your friends or some other thing that would pull you away from the Lord. Him that cometh to me, you and Christ. You're ever going to be saved. It'll be when you come to Jesus. Because we finish with a wonderful statement. Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. An impossible calamity. To be cast out of by God is the greatest calamity can happen to a soul. To be taken by the hand of God and cast out into outer darkness. Man, that's tragedy. Do you ever stop to think of it? Doesn't matter what the world says about you. It's what God does with you. I was in Ohio this last week, preaching in Marietta Bible Center Church. In my hotel bedroom, I was able to watch a film of the awful crash of the space vehicle. Something very, very false, very, if not false, certainly chilling to the heart to me to see someone smiling on film and have just been blown into eternity.
I watched the interviews with those folk, heard all that was said by them and all that was said about them, and the eulogies. As I was travelling in the car, I listened to some of President Reagan's eulogy at the memorial service when he bade them all farewell and expressed the certainty that they were all in God's heaven. I would to God that he were right. But as I listened and watched, I thought, how tragic it would be to have the world weeping and the world eulogizing. By the hand of God took your soul and cast you into hell. I am not the judge of any of those folk who died. I know nothing about them. But it does raise the issue of eternity. To be cast out by God, that's a calamity. When I turn to the scriptures, I find that there are religious people and they're cast into hell. There are preachers and they're cast into hell. There are miracle workers and they're cast into hell. There are rich men cast into hell. There are nations cast into hell. But here's an impossible thing. Him that cometh unto me will never be cast out. What compassion this shows us in the heart of the Savior. Shows us the character of our Lord. His word is a word to be trusted and depended on. It gives us a charter for sinners who want to be saved. Any man who would get to heaven can rest his soul on this almighty truth. Jesus says, come unto me, I will never cast you out. You know, when you come, my friend, there is the confidence of saints. I can speak from experience in this matter. I remember years of deep depression, years of changing feelings, years of sometimes joyful, sometimes sad, sometimes thinking I was saved, sometimes fearing I was damned. I remember times when it appeared to me, if this matter wouldn't be resolved, I would go crazy, stark, raving mad. I remember times after an evening service, when everybody else would get to enjoy the fellowship, I would have to get alone to get on my knees in a frenzy and cry to God, and yet the light never did really seem to break through. I used to wonder, Lord, why should I go through this? I know the reason now, by the way. In the last 25 years, I have dealt with hundreds of people who have been through the same thing. And you know, the very first thing that brings light into their darkness is when I can read their mind and tell them what they're thinking and tell them what the devil has been telling them and tell them, I have been there before you. I'll never forget the first day of February 1958. The early hours of that morning, we were having a late night of prayer, had run into those early hours. Man, everybody was praying with great liberty and with great victory. And I felt I was in purgatory. It was terrible. No joy, no peace, no light, no assurance, no nothing. And about 3 o'clock that morning, this very text was brought to my heart. Him that cometh unto me. Man, the old devil said, well, sure, you don't know if you've come or not. Maybe you didn't come right. You know all the lies the devil tells you? I remember that morning saying, well, Lord, a lot of truth in that. I don't know at this point in time. I'm so confused. I don't know whether I've come or whether I haven't come. I don't know if I come now even what to ask for. My mind's in such confusion. But you have said, him that cometh to me. And I come with an open heart to receive from the hand of God all that I need in Christ. I come. No reservations. With confusion, with guilt, with failure, with sin, with depression, with worry, with it all, I simply come. And you have said, I will not cast you out. My confidence is not in what I prayed. My confidence is in him who gave this promise. Come, I'll not cast you out. I remember sometime after that, an older Christian was arguing with me. Now, I wasn't arguing with him. You would know me, I wouldn't argue. But he was arguing with me over a point of doctrine. And actually, in that point, I wasn't arguing. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. For I knew he could see as much as a blind bat could see in outer darkness. He just didn't want to see. And so I didn't want to argue. But he got very angry. Very bitter. Said a very devastating thing, a stupid thing to say to a young Christian. He said, ach, you're not saved at all. I just looked at him. I said, so according to you, Jesus Christ is a liar. Man, that was a KO punch. According to you, Jesus Christ is a liar. I didn't say that, said he. I said, oh yes, you did. Because Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I came, and yet you say he cast me out. End of argument. That same person never made that mistake again. Here's the confidence. I'm not going to heaven because I'm hanging on to Jesus. I'm going to heaven because Christ has a grip of me that not all the demons in hell or out of it can ever break. Jesus says, I will not, cast you out. What a promise. Do you know Christ tonight? All that the Father giveth me, I have come to Christ. I'm given by God. I can accept God's covenant grace now. Rejoice in it. Him that cometh unto me, I have come to Christ. He says, I'll not cast you out. Bless God, I'm in. And there's nobody who'll put me out. Is that your testimony? Are you saved tonight? Are you sure you'll never be cast out? You'll never be lost? Could you go out to meet God this evening with the assurance, it's well with my soul? Could you sing those words of our opening hymn as words of personal testimony? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. If not, man, you'll only get that assurance at the feet of Jesus. Come to Christ with the knowledge that he will never cast out the soul who comes to him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. We do want every head bowed in prayer, and we do want every eye closed. In a moment, this meeting will be over, and you'll be free to leave. There's not a better place or a better time to come to Christ than right here in a gospel meeting, where around you folk are praying, with the gospel still ringing in your ears. Man or woman or young person, don't delay. Don't stop short of Christ. Don't depend on anything or anybody but the Savior. Come to the Savior, make no delay. For here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Come to Christ. I'm here as your servant for his sake. I invite you to remain and let's open the book of God together. And I'll be delighted tonight to point you to the Savior. May God bless you and bring you to himself. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. Write it indelibly upon the fleshy tables of the heart. O God, we pray that this Sabbath evening there be conviction of sin and a true coming to Christ. Lord, we pray that not one man, woman, boy or girl will leave this house this evening saying, I will not come to Christ. O Lord, draw souls irresistibly to Jesus. Hear our cry. Part us with thy blessing. Be our abiding portion, both this Sabbath evening and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.